This is an Aero News Touch and Go for April 22, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. It looks as if Senate Bill 1300, which would reauthorize the FAA and fund it 5 more years, may be on the move. ANN has been told Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has called for the bill, which at last check still included a $25 user fee on turbine IFR flights, to come to the floor for consideration within a week. AOPA's Chris Dancy says Reid, quote, has told Senators Rockefeller and Backus that he wants the bill to come to the floor and that they need to work out a solution that will allow that to happen, unquote. American Airlines CEO Gerard Arpey personally apologized to the public last week for 3,300 flights canceled over MD-80 inspection issues. This week, American has come out swinging at the FAA, and in the New York Times no less. The paper says the airline faces more groundings in coming weeks and is risking further agency ire by accusing the FAA of changing long-standing rules on how airworthiness directives are administered. Specifically, American's MD-80 lead engineer, Greg Magnuson, says the company has traditionally had the leeway to decide on its own how to resolve ambiguities or conflicts within ADs, but that's suddenly not being permitted. In one example, American Airlines officials noted that one AD involved removing and reusing a bolt and a nut clip, while the associated parts list showed a bolt and a standard nut. The airline was cited for using the nut clip. As more mass cancellations loom in an expanded FAA audit, U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters has asked for reports from both the FAA and American about how things could have been handled differently. Monday marked the 50th anniversary of an airline accident which changed the way jets are flown in the U.S. and prompted the creation of the FAA. A United Airlines DC-7 with 47 souls on board left Los Angeles International on the morning of April 21, 1958, but never made it to Omaha, Nebraska. While flying along the Victor 8 airway near Las Vegas, the airliner was hit in midair by an F-100F Super Sabre trainer flying out of Nellis Air Force Base. A military instructor was reportedly putting his student through a spiral descent under the hood, and the fighter was moving at an estimated 500 miles per hour when it sheared off a 12-foot section of the DC-7's right wing at 21,000 feet. Both planes went down. There were no survivors. The Las Vegas Review-Journal records that it was the worst aircraft accident in Las Vegas history. In the days after the accident, two other commercial pilots came forward with accusations that U.S. Air Force planes often stunted near their aircraft along Victor 8. Things changed after the collision. The airliner had been carrying 13 key men in the top-secret ICBM project. The military decreed there would never again be that much sensitive information and that many key personnel flying on the same aircraft. Later that year, President Eisenhower signed the Federal Aviation Act, ordering the formation of the Federal Aviation Agency, later administration, through consolidation of the Civil Aeronautics Administration and the Civil Aeronautics Board. The act also demanded better communications procedures between civilian and military aircraft. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you about these stories. NTSB releases its prelim on a fatal crash near Lakeland. Boeing fights rumors of still more Dreamliner delays. And will Russian money rescue Alitalia? Also, check out the ANN special feature. Today we'll hear about NBAA's new event focused on small aircraft operators as announced at Lakeland by President Ed Bolin. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.